from around the globe. In sold-out arenas and humble churches, from out on the streets to your screen, on this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
His knowledge of the Quran and the Bible and the scriptures therein has enabled him to be able to transcend race, gender, religion, ethnic backgrounds, and he has been able to bring peoples of the world together because he is a young man who walks softly but carries a big stick. He is a young man who is a beloved husband, a loving father of seven magnificent children. He is a man who is respected not only in the nation of Islam, but he is loved and revered right here in Tuskegee, Alabama. He didn't just come. He took time to meet with the ministers of Tuskegee and Macon County. He took the time to take time out of his schedule to have two town hall meetings. He took time to go to our schools. He took time to talk to the black mayors. He took time to go to Birmingham and pay homage to those four little girls who were killed in a bombing and two black boys who were killed on bicycles. He took time to let the people know him and for us to get to know him better. He wanted us to know that the Nation of Islam is not coming here to try to convince all of you to become Muslims, but is coming here to join hands with you, to walk together, children, and not be weary, to be able to join hands as one united fist. Booker T. Washington said it best, and this is the philosophy of Ismail Muhammad. He said, "For all things unimportant," these are the words of Booker T. Washington. "We can be as separate as the fingers on our hand, but for all things that are mutually beneficial for our people, we must be together as a clenched fist." Put your hands together. Welcome Ismail Muhammad, who is a new face in the Nation of Islam. It is a new beginning. Put your hands together. Give him some love as he represents the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. My leader, my brother.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the All-Wise, True and Living God, the Wonderful Originator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, the Giver of life, Allah, the Revealer of all truth, Allah, the Sender of all of the prophets and messengers that I mentioned in the Bible and Holy Quran. I am a student and follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the perfect guidance and example of a man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I could never thank Allah enough for his merciful intervention in the affairs of the black man and woman of America, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and for his raising up from among us this beautiful human being born right next door in the state of Georgia, and putting in that man unequaled wisdom, knowledge, and guidance for a suffering people. And that wisdom, knowledge, and guidance that Almighty God, Allah, gave to this black man would allow us to realize our freedom as a people and secure our place on this planet. I thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's not only a messenger to us, but he is the long-awaited Messiah. I thank Allah and could never thank Allah enough for the man who is in our midst. I would never know the true and real value of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I would not know the greatness and the magnificence of the loins that I was blessed to come into the world from if there was not a man that God had made for himself and a man that God made for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man whose heart is a heart that is after the heart of God himself. And because of that man's love for his father and for his teacher, the name and the work of Elijah Muhammad is known all over the world. For this world thought that when Elijah Muhammad departed in 1975, that they had destroyed his work and written his name out of history. But one day a man came up in 1977, and they did not calculate on the rise of Louis Farrakhan to rebuild the Nation of Islam and to restore the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm here today because of the love of one man. I would have no purpose for my life and nothing to share with you today if it were not for that man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I thank Allah for this divine leader, teacher, guide, and warner to the nations of the earth. And it is in their names that I greet you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, though we all were expecting him, and he had every intent to be with us today. We heard from his daughter, Sister Donna Farrakhan, of what he was affected with. And one of the things, dear brothers and sisters, that characterizes Minister Farrakhan and makes him a little different than others is he believes he is born to serve the people. He is a true public servant. And he believes that the people and the public should know of his condition. So as he sits in the hospital watching us, healing and mending, and he is on a right or going in the right direction, and if it be the will of Allah, either tomorrow or at the latest Tuesday, he should be out of the hospital. All praise is due to Allah. So why are we here in Tuskegee? Why did the minister choose this humble, blessed, beloved city of Tuskegee that gave us in America the brave and courageous Tuskegee Airmen, that secured America a victory in World War II, that allowed America to become stronger as a nation and even wealthier? But what did they come back to? Did their courageous bravery on the battlefield make the black community stronger and wealthier? Or did we in that give to another people, to another nation, to help them become strong, wealthy, and mightier? Yet we became weaker as a community. What came to us after seeing the movie? Remember Red Tails? That movie gave us pride, a pride that we need so badly to know that we are a people of value and worth. Why did the minister bring us to Tuskegee, the home of Rosa Parks? We're here in Tuskegee, the land of Booker T. Washington and of Dr. George Washington Carver, who took peanuts from the land and developed over 100 products just from the peanut, that has allowed for wealth to be created in various industries just from his discovery of what God put in a peanut. Think about that. Allah has guided us to be here this day, at this time, in this city, for a very special reason and purpose. The little humble city of Tuskegee has given us and a people, and even to America and the world, so much to be grateful for. And as Sister Donna said in her remarks, we're here to pay honor to this little city that gave to America, to black people and the world, so much in terms of black progress, economic development, and high levels of civilization advanced by Dr. Booker T. Washington. We must revisit the principles that Tuskegee University was founded upon, and revisit and ingrain those principles into our very being, for our future is at stake. Booker T. Washington, just a few years born out from slavery, this man is not fully appreciated by those who struggle to see our people free. Many of our young people don't know Booker T. Washington. They know him by name, but they don't know the vision and the principles of Dr. Booker T. Washington, and the schools are not instilling those principles in our young people. Otherwise, we would not be looking for a job. Did you know that Dr. Washington was not just interested in agriculture and animal husbandry, but he was interested in our growth into science and civilization, the manners and behaviors of civilized people? He recognized the need of our people to be properly educated and reformed after our total destruction through the institution of slavery. He recognized that in order for us to gain our dignity and respect, we had to be taught civilization, how to respect self, respect others. And he taught even the women at Tuskegee University. He taught them how to stand, how to walk, how to sit. He taught the woman how she should carry herself, how she should act in the public. And because of these principles, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was attracted to Dr. Booker T. Washington. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used those very same principles. They are found and taught in the Nation of Islam and our training of men and women. So when you see your brother and sister from the Nation of Islam and you admire and marvel the good manners, the discipline, the courteousness, the hospitality, that is because of these principles that Dr. Booker T. Washington taught, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches. It is a shame, Brother Malik Zulu, Shabazz, that we are deprived of our history. And that is why our young people appear to be out here like rebels without a cause. They've become self-destructors of themselves and their community because their roots have been severed. And when you deprive a people of their history, you have committed the worst crime that can ever be done to a people when you rob them of the knowledge of self. Take from there their history. It is a crime of immeasurable dimension. So how can our young people grow? How can we grow if we don't know our history? How can the tree out here in this square survive? If it is cut from the roots, it has no chance of surviving. It has no chance of growing. So the aim of the enemy has always been to sever and cut your roots, disconnect you from your past. That these great men behind me that are on this banner would never be remembered, only in name. When was the last time you, as a parent, opened up the history books, the social studies books that your children are being introduced to? They gloss over. They don't even mention anymore the horror of the transatlantic slave trade. They don't even talk about Jim Crow. They don't even talk about the Reconstruction period. They tell our children nothing about these great men who sacrificed so that we could have dignity as a people and be better respected in this land. And so, Booker T. Washington recognized that if we were ever to be respected and accepted by others, we had to be civilized. We had to be reformed. We had to be rehabilitated. And so, we are here to honor him. And it was those principles of Dr. Booker T. Washington that attracted Marcus Garvey, the father of black nationalist thought and pan-Africanist thought, to Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington instilled in his students a deep appreciation for the land, the value of the land, and was a strong proponent of black self-development. He had his young students in architecture lay out the plans for Tuskegee Institute. They took the clay land and made bricks and built the buildings, opened the restaurants. They built the school over there. They built the benches over there. They built the cables over there. They built the chairs over there. And they didn't ask anybody else to build it for them. They put their hands to work and they built it themselves. Booker T. Washington was showing us what we needed to learn and what we need to learn today in order to secure a future for ourselves. And how to even earn the respect of our former slave master. How to earn real respect from white people. You didn't hear me. See, you'll never get respect from them as long as you try to appease them and be a good boy or a good nigger. You got to stand up and be a man in order for men to respect you and your people. Excuse me. See, that's why they call us boys. See? Because a boy is always looking to his daddy. Daddy, pick me up. Daddy, give me some money. But at some point, the boy got to grow up, Brother Leonard, and become a man. And you become a man when you take care of yourself. So if we want the respect of America, the respect of white people, Booker T. Washington showed us. Because when they were taking the clay and making bricks out of clay, but look at what Booker T. Washington did and how he trained his students. See? And Booker T. studied the children of Israel. See? Making bricks from straw. See? And he set up a kiln, but he never became discouraged. A kiln is a furnace or oven for burning, making, or drying. Booker T. Washington said, "We tried several locations before we opened up a pit that furnished brick clay. I had always supposed that brick making was very simple, but I soon found out by bitter experience that it required special skill and knowledge, particularly in the burning of the bricks. The failure of this last kiln left me without a single dollar with which to make another experiment. Most of the teachers advised the abandoning of the effort to make bricks." See, there's always somebody discouraging you to do what is of value and for you to realize and fulfill your dream or whatever idea God blesses you to come up with in your mind. There's always going to be resistance and opposition. But if you are steadfast, if you are determined, and this man put his last dollar, but he believed in what God had shown him. So he said, "I pawned my watch in Montgomery for $15, man, to renew the brick making experiment." See, he was not discouraged. Now that sacrifice, he was willing to take whatever he had that was dear to him, and that's what sacrifice really is. It's giving up something that you like, giving up something that you love for something that has a much greater value or calling for your life. How much are we willing to sacrifice for our freedom? Talk to me. Because in a few moments, we'll talk about the nickel that all of us must put in to a national treasury that's painless for us to do, that is going to end poverty and want. He said, I returned to Tuskegee, and with the help of the $15, rallied our rather demoralized and discouraged forces and began a fourth attempt to make bricks. This time, I am glad to say we were successful. Check it out, though. Brick making has now become such an important industry at the school that last season our students manufactured 1,200,000 of first-class bricks of a quality suitable to be sold in any market. Aside from this, scores of young men have mastered the brick making trade, both the making of bricks by hand and by machinery, and are now engaged in this industry in many parts of the South. The making of these bricks taught me an important lesson in regard to the relations. Take a look at this. Listen. The relations of the two races in the South. Many white people who had no contact with the school and perhaps no sympathy with it came to us to buy bricks because they found out that ours were good bricks. They discovered that we were supplying a real want in the community. The making of these bricks caused many of the white residents of the neighborhood to begin to feel that the education of the Negro was not making him worthless, but that in educating our students, we were adding something to the wealth and the comfort of the community. And as the people of the neighborhood came to us to buy bricks, we got acquainted with them. They traded with us, and we with them. Our business interests became intermingled. We had something which they wanted. They had something which we wanted. This, in a large measure, helped to lay the foundation for the pleasant relations that have continued to exist between us and the white people in that section, and which now extend throughout the South. Now, that's Booker T. See, Allah guided the minister to bring us here. Because whether we realize it or not, this is our Genesis. This is our Genesis from Tuskegee. And from this city, from this institution, as the minister described it, as the seminal fluid of the kingdom of God. We're here because we have got to drop our buckets down and pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And if we do that, we will secure a future for ourselves and we will earn the respect of others. But Booker T. Washington gathered the young people of his day and he put them to work, and they went from Tuskegee throughout the state and started brick making companies and selling bricks and trading and entering into commerce that would allow them to earn a living for themselves. What are we doing with our young people today? Begging a government to do for us what we should and must do for ourselves? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, We do not believe that America will ever, 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 see, that's into infinity and beyond, ever be able to furnish enough jobs for her millions of unemployed and give jobs to black people as well. Here we are begging another people for that which we should be giving ourselves at some point. We gotta look at Booker T. Washington, look at Marcus Garvey, look at Elijah Muhammad, look at these men and women that are behind me, and not honor them in name in some annual birthday celebration, but carry into practice the principles that they laid down, and we would see a better condition among our people throughout the world. And so, with so many of us out of work, 40% of our teenagers don't have a job. 50% of our college graduates, our dear brother, and I meant to acknowledge and thank him, our brother Jaleel Muhammad, for the wonderful job that he did this weekend in bringing well over 300 students from the various HCBUs across the country. Thank you. He sent me a note that just startled me. 53% of our college graduates last year graduated unemployed. See? So how are we securing a future for our children when we send them to college and they get a degree that qualifies them for what? Prepares them for what? If it's not preparing them to serve their people, then it is an education that we don't need, and we have to look at developing a new educational paradigm that will give our children what our children need to advance ourselves. So 13% of the black population is unemployed, but these numbers are deceptive, economists say. Yes, that the unemployment rate is more like 30%. So even though the national unemployment rate is inching downward a bit, it's still high among our people. See, it's like this. I like using this line. Papa may have, Mama may have, but God blesses the child who's got his own. So Marcus Garvey said, action, self-reliance, vision of self and the future have been the only means by which the oppressed have realized and seen the light of their own freedom. See? Self-reliance, action, vision of self, vision of the future. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Farrakhan is giving to us a vision for ourselves that comes directly from God, and a program that if we support it, we will secure a better future for ourselves. Malcolm X said, whites can help us, but they can't join us. There can be no black-white unity until there is first some black unity. See, he was speaking the same language of Booker T. See? When he was building Tuskegee Institute, the whites didn't pay him any attention. He said they didn't even show sympathy. But once he started building something, And in their collective unity and work, it attracted whites to them, and whites respected them. So Malcolm X says, we cannot think of uniting with others until we first unite with ourselves. Well, he got that from his teacher, Elijah Muhammad. And until after we have first united among ourselves, we cannot think of being acceptable to others until we have first proven acceptable to ourselves. See, all of these leaders spoke the same language, but they spoke it in a different melody, a different track, but they all were evolving. They all were on an evolutionary course, and they all shared the common goal, which was to see a people united and see a people free. You know who Farrakhan represents? He represents all of these beautiful, wonderful, brilliant men, women, teachers, educators, leaders. Farrakhan is the last man standing. Did I say something wrong, Mayor? Did I say something wrong? Oh, I know. He's the last man standing. He is the one that synthesizes the greatness, the philosophy, the idea of all of these men and women so that a people can go free. Now, brothers and sisters, as we bring this to a close, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad introduced in his economic blueprint, he said to us, our knowledge of self, others, and the time should force us to become more prudent in our spending. Unnecessary spending by trying to keep pace with the rich and wealthy of this country has done more to put us on the path of the prodigal son than anything else. Let us be taught how to spend and save by those of us who desire to see us out of poverty and want. Yes, sir. He also said in advancing his program, you are too proud to meet together as leaders and teachers to discuss the solution of how to stop this reckless downhill fall of our people. Now, when Dr. King, in 1968, just 5 days before he was murdered, Dr. King was preaching about land. Quote, Dr. King said, at the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and in the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in, guess what? Farming. Farming is the engine of the nation. It's the engine of the life of the people. If you and I abandon the land and abandon farming, it is like saying that we want to commit suicide. Dr. King said, not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm. And they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. This is what we are faced with. And this is a reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we're coming to get our check. You know that Farrakhan could not do what he has done and accomplish what he has accomplished if God were not with him. A man of character. You don't have a robber and a thief in Farrakhan. You don't have a man of questionable character. You got a man that has proven his worth, proven his dedication, proven his devotion, proven his commitment in his labor of love of 60 years and counting. So he comes behind his father, Elijah Muhammad, 48 years ago. And he wrote a letter to our national leadership. And he said, quote, "More importantly, I am desirous that we meet to discuss the worsening condition of our people and form a united front to develop a plan to move our people forward, to develop ways to create jobs so we might lift our people from the valley of poverty and want." And so, my dear brothers and sisters, that economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to end poverty and want requires that we take painlessly a nickel a day. I mean, if that's not painless, I mean, but you know, some of us are so sick. We distrust each other so much. We ain't even willing to give a nickel to a proven man and a worthy cause. We'd rather spend our money on dope and crack and alcohol and gambling and in foolishness when all we have to do is take a nickel a day. 35 cents a week is what the blueprint is calling and asking us to do. $1.40 a month. $18.20 a year. And with 16 million wage earners contributing $18.20 in 1 year, we would have 291,200,000 in a national savings treasury that we could begin to take those nickels and those pennies and dimes, quarters, and the first thing we do is buy land. Buy land, buy land, buy plenty of land. And then when I was on the phone with our beloved minister this morning, as he was giving me his thoughts and words for today, he asked us, well, what if 46 million of us? Now, wait a minute now. That's everybody. That's your mama. That's your daddy. That's your grandpa. That's your grandma. That's your daughter, that's your baby. Because ain't nobody gonna miss a nickel. Talk to me. You give a nickel to your baby right now, they throw it back at you. So you might as well throw it. in a receptacle that can capture that. And while at the same time, we'll be teaching our children how to invest, how to save. This is how we teach our children the value and the science of money and economics. Now look at this. What if 46 million people gave 5 cents a day? Do you know how much that would be in a year? $839,500,000 in 1 year. That's nearly $1 billion. And that's painless. We can do it. Si se puede. That's Spanish for you. Y'all want to learn a little Spanish? Say it with me. Si.
Si.
Se.
Se.
Puede.
Puede.
Si.
Si.
Se.
Se.
Puede.
Puede.
Yes.
Yes.
We.
We.
Can.
Yes.
Yes.
We.
We. Can.
Yes.
Yes.
We.
We. Will. That's all we need to do is act on that. And we will pull ourselves up by our own pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And within a short amount of time, we will see improvement in our communities. We will fund our black colleges and institutions. We will make sure that the schools that we need to remain open in our cities remain open, because we won't be dependent on a bankrupt city budget. We will be depending on ourselves. And once you control the dollars, see, now you put yourself in a position to determine what will be taught from these institutions, and we won't be dependent on them to design a curriculum that is unfit for today's minds, unfit for the American children, and unfit for black children in this country. Do you know that it costs $7.50 to cross the Triborough Bridge in New York? Where's Brother Hafiz? I don't know how you all can afford to live in that city. And people pay $7.50, that's one way. You got to pay $7.50 going back. That's $15 round trip. Now, thousands of commuters use the Triborough Bridge and pay $7.50 just to cross the bridge. You mean to tell me that a people can't sacrifice a nickel a day to cross the River Jordan? You mean to tell me that we are not going to sacrifice a nickel a day for our exodus to go through the Red Sea to get to the land that God has promised us? And again, the land isn't across the Atlantic Ocean. Our sweat, our blood, our labor, we have earned the right to the land that is under our foot. We just need to take ownership of it. So, it's time to go from this beautiful city, this humble city of Tuskegee. For this is the route to self-independence. Owning land, cultivating it, producing from the earth everything we need to live, to become a productive people. Then sell, the minister tells us, the surplus of what we produce from the land through trade and commerce, which produces an economy, and guess what? Generates wealth. See, they sell you on television all these, what do they call them? Not these promos, they call them infomercials. See? But notice, it's all about get rich. But they're get rich schemes. See? But they're not teaching you and helping you to build real wealth. And so the real wealth is in the land. And of course, time is on me, but you know from the minister's time and what must be done lecture series, he told us that farming was once an honorable occupation in this country. And in 1850, from 1850 to 2013, the farming occupation has decreased from 64% of the labor force in 1850 to less than 1% in 2013. I had some statistics on the black farmers, and we want to applaud them because they also met this weekend and had a wonderful conference headed by our Dr. Ridgely. And all of the black farmers that came from throughout the state of Alabama, Mississippi, came down from the Carolinas. We got to support the black farmer because our health depends on us growing our own food. Because all human beings, regardless of race, creed, or color, are forced, guess what? To eat. Isn't it interesting that after God made everything, the earth, the trees, the animals, he said there was no man. But guess what was the first occupation of the man? What was it? Farming. Till the earth. Cultivate it, replenish it, multiply. That's why we said coming here is our genesis. Let us make man in the image and likeness of God, and let us go back to the earth and cultivate the earth and produce from the earth, from the land, the basic necessities of life and the basic necessities for our survival. This is what Farrakhan is giving to us, saying to us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from Frederick Douglass, from Malcolm X, from Rosa Parks, E.B. Du Bois, from Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Noble Drew Ali, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., from Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad. It's all about land. And God never freed a people in that Bible without some land. Talk to me. It was all about land and securing his chosen people in a land that they could call their own. No people can be free with their mouth in the kitchen of another, particularly in the kitchen of our former slave masters and their children. And as long as we do not own land, we're not going to be a productive people. We will continue to be a consumer nation. And as long as we are not respecting the profession of farming and the cultivation of land and producing quality foods, then, brothers and sisters, our life, our health, our well-being is in the hands of our former slave masters and their children. And so, as we bring this to a close, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced this economic blueprint. We've opened up the account that we can begin, not tomorrow, but today. And if you and I have been following those instructions, take the receptacle that you've had on the table of your homes. Go ahead and take it now. And take it to the bank and get ready to send it. If you want to send it by electronically, then go to the website. The website is www.economicblueprint.org. For all of those that are watching by webcast, you may donate now online at economicblueprint.org. And those of you that would like to make a donation by mail, make your checks payable to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint and send it to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway Bank and Trust Company. Attention, Sherilyn Russell, P.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619. It's time for us to get up and do something for ourselves. The government is not going to help us any more than we are willing to help ourselves. Nobody is going to help the black man. The black man has to get up and do something for himself. And I close with the Psalms. Though we walk through the valley under the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Thanks be to Allah, who's given us a good shepherd in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to help us as a people to get out of poverty and want. Let us pray for his health, pray for his strength, pray for his continued success, pray for our success, pray for our unity, pray that Allah will heal our land, lift us up, deliver us, and help us to achieve the goal that we have set out here to accomplish. I thank you so very much for hearing these words, receiving this message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Happy Holy Day of Atonement as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Please log on again next week and every week this year for the time and what must be done. Tell your friends, tell your family. Log on to NOI.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time for truth, guidance, and unequaled love from the National Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pass on the word every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time at NOI.org. The time and what must be done. Remember, to have Minister Farrakhan answer your questions, tweet them to @LouisFarrakhan, #AskFarrakhan. And to add this message to your library or as a gift for someone you love, go to store.finalcall.com.